News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Dan and Dalton at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Nothing to see here, right? What a day yesterday in the state of Georgia. Those reverberations are going to bounce around for a long time, especially if the second election that is yet to be
completely called
goes Democrats' way. But that's pretty much our lead story, right? We've got a lot of stories, but that'd probably be the first thing we're talking about this morning.
Yeah, and we want to get your take in this hour as we turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. You can call or text us at that number, but a devastating Tuesday for the GOP in Georgia as they've already called one of those important Senate runoff races. Democrat Raphael Warnock projected to defeat incumbent Senator Kelly Loeffler, who's the Republican in that race. And Warnock addressed his supporters shortly after the polls closed. And then I believe he declared victory earlier this morning. So now the focus shifts to the second race. Now, before this race is called, and if you give Warnock the victory in the other Senate race, that means that, of course, the Democrats hold the House, although by a smaller margin than they did in 2016. Now Democrats hold 49 of the Senate seats. The Republicans hold 50 of the Senate seats. And if John Ossoff, the Democrat running against incumbent Senator David Perdue, wins the other Senate runoff race from Georgia, that would make it an even split, 50-50 in the Senate. And when that happens, if there are any deadlocked votes, then the vice president would be the one to cast the deciding vote, which will very soon likely be Senator or Vice President Kamala Harris. So if Ossoff is declared the winner, then basically the Democrats will have control of the House, Senate, and the White House. But it's still too early for anyone to call that Perdue and Ossoff race. I think 98 to 99% of the votes are in right now, and Ossoff leads by 0.4 of a percentage point. It's right around 16,000 votes that the Democrat leads by. But from what I've read, the remaining votes come from Democratic strongholds. So the Democrats are very optimistic about picking up both of those Senate seats once the second race is called this morning. Now, Axios wrote up some stuff about this race and really kind of what has been and what was at stake in these two Senate runoff races. And I mean, you look at it now, if Ossoff wins today, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer will become the majority leader. You already have Nancy Pelosi, who was reelected as the Speaker of the House. So a lot of the Republicans' worst nightmares appears to have come to fruition with Pelosi leading in the House, Schumer in the Senate, and Joe Biden in the White House.
You know, they took that clip of Schumer up in New York City saying, we win Georgia, we change the country, something like that. And I really thought, and they put that in many of the ads for the Republicans in Georgia. And I thought that message alone would be enough to incite the conservative voters in Georgia to make sure that they got out, and they made sure that didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
That's as big a threat as you could give a conservative in the South, is Chuck Schumer being the guy, right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people didn't want. Keith, he texted and he said, you pronounced devastating day for the entire country. If that's what I said, that was completely unintentional. I was trying to say devastating day for the GOP, not just in Georgia, but around the rest of the country. What will this mean if Ossoff is declared the winner today? That means that Biden will be able to push through a lot of the liberal agenda that they've been wanting to push through for a long time.
Yeah.
However, this does put one particular senator in the spotlight, and that's West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who is not everyone would call him a moderate Democrat, but compared to a lot of the other Democrats, he's certainly more moderate than they are, and he would hold a lot of sway.
He would be in an incredible position right now.
Yeah,
he would be the one guy that could occasionally be persuaded to, you know, vote with the Republicans on.
Yeah, I can certainly see that happening. So what Axios writes here, what Senate control means for the Democrats and Joe Biden, they could try to do big spending and tax hikes via budget reconciliation, which requires only a simple majority. They can also jam through nominees and judicial picks if they stay united, and they control what comes to the floor and when. So there was a lot at stake in those Senate races last night. But as I said, that second Senate race has not yet been called. And, you know, already some allegations of some peculiar stuff that happened last night, and I'm sure that there will be investigating done into this Georgia runoff election. But DeKalb County, they said due to technical issues, over 19,000 ballots must, quote, be manually scanned in order to be tabulated and added to the total vote count. Also, what was it?
Chatham County.
Chatham County, where Savannah is located, and also where Warnock is from, I believe. They did exactly what we saw so many counties do back in the November election. You think that, you know, they have one job. The job is to count the votes and say who got what votes when. Well, Chatham County shut it down again last night while they were counting the votes. I think it was right around 10 o'clock Eastern time when Chatham County vote counters said, yeah, we're done for the night.
I got to see that story.
They left the annex building and said they'd be back at 8 a.m. this morning to count the rest of the votes.
Good morning, Chatham County.
You know that just like after the November election, there's going to be questions about this one too, but not a whole lot of time to answer those questions. And then that leads into what's going to happen today.
Yeah, today, under federal law, Congress mandated to meet today in a joint session to certify the Electoral College vote. Mike Pence will be right in the middle of that. The sealed certificates from all 50 states and the District of Columbia, which contain a record of the Electoral College vote, will be brought into the House chamber in these mahogany boxes. And after the certificate from the state is read out loud in the chamber, any member of Congress can stand up and object to the state's Electoral College vote on any grounds. But the presiding officer, which will be Pence, cannot hear the objection unless it is in writing and signed by at least one House member and one senator. Now, we know about Mo Brooks' plan.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this kind of been hijacked by what Ted Cruz has got in mind. What's he up to? You've probably seen it from this weekend. Anyway, he was on Hannity last night, and this is what Ted Cruz had to say about his plan today.
Well, Sean, that's right, and tomorrow is an important day. We have an obligation, I believe, to protect the integrity of the election and to protect the integrity of the democratic system. And so last week, as you know, what I did is work to bring together a group of 11 senators. I spent about 24 hours just working the phones, calling my colleagues, and ultimately 10 of my colleagues joined with me. I intend to object tomorrow. All 11 senators are standing with me on that, in that objection. And what the objection is for is to demand that we form an electoral commission that has the authority to investigate these claims of voter fraud, to consider the evidence, and to make determinations. These allegations are serious, and I got to say, there are far too many people in Washington who are saying, dismiss the claims out of hand, don't look at them, don't consider them, that Congress has to have a blindfold on. I don't think that's right. I think we have an obligation to the Constitution to defend the rule of law.
So if you're thinking he's working in coordination or conjunction with Mo Brooks' movement, it's actually not at all. Explain that.
Yeah, so I think you used the word hijacked earlier, mm-hmm. and I think that's a pretty, you know, apt statement there, because Mo Brooks, you know, we've been talking to him about this over the last month and a half, 2 months, really,
sure.
where he
yeah.
said he planned to object to this, and it didn't seem like anyone would go along with him for the longest time. And then he got a number of freshmen congressmen and women to join him in protesting the Electoral College results. And then you had these senators signed on.
Hawley came on Thursday, I think.
And Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville, mm-hmm. and then the biggest name of them all, Ted Cruz, who you just heard talking there. So the way this will happen, Mo Brooks wants to overturn mm-hmm. the election. Ted Cruz wants to use their leverage in order to create this commission to study voter fraud in the 2020 election for the next 10 days leading into the inauguration. So when they start going down the list of states later today, Alabama, Alaska, and then Arizona, somebody might have to fact check me on that if that's the order, but Arizona, and that will be when the first objection is raised. And Ted Cruz plans to do that then, and Tommy Tuberville as well plans to object to the Arizona votes. That will mean they will go into a two-hour debate period. The House will split off into their own. The Senate will split off into their own. Then they will debate for 2 hours the legitimacy of the Arizona Electoral College votes. And then I believe they will move on through the rest of the states if that's overturned. I know Josh Hawley said he plans to object to Pennsylvania's electors for Biden. And at the time, just yesterday, Senator Kelly Loeffler was expected to object to Georgia's electors. Now, whether Loeffler does that today, technically she's still a senator, mm-hmm. even though she lost that race yesterday. We'll have to see, but there should be some fireworks up in the nation's capital today.
This is really compelling stuff, because we thought we knew exactly what we could expect, because we knew what Mo Brooks' plan was. We saw the others come on board with him. But now with what Cruz is doing and the sway that he's got, it's got to be a lot more powerful than Mo Brooks.
He did tell Hannity, he said it's an uphill climb in order to get this done.
Wow. It is 17 after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. What's up with the vaccines? We'll talk about that on the way. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig in Mobile Mornings. A lot of stuff to tackle today, that's for sure. And for the foreseeable future, I guess. We're going to have a lot on our plate around here. Right?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. Turning up your voice, certainly, 343-0106. This is under, talking about the vaccines, I guess I put the file that's under, I'm just saying, 19% of vaccine in Alabama has been actually administered to the public. Maybe part of that is some of the public doesn't want the vaccine, maybe, but you would think that healthcare workers, people in nursing homes, it's, chop, chop.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure why we have 226,000 doses on the ground here in Alabama, somewhere in these freezers, wherever they are, and only 43,000 have been administered to this point. This was as of yesterday. I don't know what the mechanism is, but we got to do better than that, don't we?
Yeah, and, I've seen some stories nationwide, even though the vaccine, I believe in all states, still isn't available to the general public.
No.
Still kind of working through the phases, like we are in Alabama, where and we'll hear from a clip from an interview yesterday that Sean had with Dr. Scott Shavers with the Mobile County Health Department, but we're still in 1A here, which is healthcare workers, emergency personnel, and then we'll move on to the elderly. Over 75, they'll be allowed to get the vaccine. But I have seen stories from around the nation where even a lot of healthcare workers are still a little,
leery
of getting the vaccine.
Okay.
And now we know that a lot of the general public maybe wants to wait before getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
Polls have shown that. I can say personally, I was in a hospital here over the last couple weeks as we saw our second baby born, and I was asking, all of the healthcare workers, I'm like, so what's up with the vaccine? And everyone that I had talked to said that they had received their first dose of the vaccine.
I think the healthcare workers are being strongly recommended, if you will, that they get the vaccine.
Well, and you talked about it. There's all these stories about ICUs filling up and equipment being used, and I don't think that's as big of an issue as the staffing for these hospitals and emergency centers.
Not because stuff with the staff.
They have to quarantine as well if they have any scares or any positive tests. And, there's only a limited amount of healthcare workers. And that was especially true over the Christmas holiday, as many went off to celebrate Christmas and many were still sick. So I don't know if, when you get something that's as limited as this vaccine and as valuable as the vaccine, like these states have, is there also the possibility that they're just holding back because they don't want to, spend it all at one time.
Since it's a double dose, too.
Yeah, and there's talk about that as well, because all we've heard since they really, came close to having these vaccines passed by the FDA for American use, that you had to, with this Pfizer vaccine, get two different doses. You have one, and then 21 days later, the second dose. For the Moderna vaccine, have them 28 days apart. Well, now the Trump administration, as well as a number of other countries, are talking about actually cutting the Moderna vaccine dose in half in order to vaccinate more people, at least partially. So, all we've been told is that you have to have the two doses for it to actually work. Well, Trump administration officials are talking with Moderna about giving people only half of the recommended dose. Moncel Salawi, who's the chief science advisor for Operation Warp Speed, said there's evidence that giving people between the ages of 18 and 55 two half doses induces, quote, identical immune response to the normal 100 microgram dose. So maybe the people that are over 55, they still feel need the full vaccine dose. But Germany is talking about doing this as well. And Denmark has already decided that they will cut their vaccine doses in half.
All right, let's get more local. Dr. L. Scott Chavers with Sean Sullivan yesterday on Midday Mobile talking about the phase we're in right now, 1A.
So right now we're in what's called phase 1A. And what we're currently doing in the state of Alabama, and let me come back to that. In the state of Alabama, we are at 1A.
Okay.
That means that we are currently vaccinating the healthcare personnel that we've already talked about are so critically important, and those individuals that are in long-term care facilities, such as your nursing homes. So we've already talked about healthcare providers are more at risk of being infected, and you have to have people to take care of the rest of us as we're sick. And then those that are in long-term care facilities are more likely to not do well if they're infected with COVID-19.
You know, as far as holding us back, isn't it imperative that we make sure the people in the long-term care facilities get that vaccine right now? Because this strain that is more infectious and running all through our community, through all communities right now, we've got to take care of those people. You can't hold back right now. You have to get the nursing homes taken care of.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people have been saying this since basically the beginning of the pandemic, that for the most part, now this isn't every case, but for the most part, if you're under a certain age, you will likely be fine. You'll have the virus for a little while, and they still don't know the long-term effects for sure, but you'll basically be down and out for a couple days, most of the times at worst, if you're under a certain age. Some people don't even know that they have the virus. They're completely asymptomatic. But we do know that people that are older or that have chronic health conditions are more likely to be greatly affected by this virus.
Sure.
So you would think common sense would prevail, and the checklist here would be healthcare workers in order to make sure that they're still able to help those that are sick.
Right.
Then the long-term care facilities, the nurses there, and the residents at these long-term care facilities, and then the elderly, because those are the people who are affected most by this disease. But you're already seeing different groups kind of, you know, try to put themselves at the front of the line. We've seen that nationwide, that there's been arguments made for that in some cases younger people should get the vaccine before the elderly, and that's just, to me, not common sense. Maybe that's somebody else's common sense, but you'd think you would want to protect your most vulnerable first.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard teachers as well. That came up. That teachers are going to soon be they're sliding a little further up the line, too, in some states. It's a state-by-state thing.
Well, and, you know, teachers come in all ages.
Yeah.
There are a lot of teachers that are 23, 25, 28 years old. You know, maybe the teachers that are 70, 75, they should also be at the front of the line. But also, when you look at the risk-reward of this, I know a lot of people are not looking forward to getting the vaccine or will wait to get the vaccine. The elderly are probably more likely to take a chance with the vaccine than younger people who might not be as affected by the virus. So I don't know.
They're more likely to vote yes, right?
Right.
Like, go ahead and give it to me.
And then now you have to wonder, how will things change with, you know, depending on how today goes. And even Ted Cruz said this is an uphill battle to overturn any part of the 2020 presidential election. But with Biden taking office, and it appears that Schumer will be head of the Senate and Pelosi head of the House, how will that change the national plan for this, and what will they implement? Big questions that need to be answered.
Huge questions. All right, it's 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, turn up your voice. We see you on the text line. We'll read some of those texts coming up, but we'd love to hear from you at 343-0106.
At 836 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios, and another beautiful morning leading into what appears to be a beautiful day. Tell us what's happening out at McConnell.
I'm sitting in my office looking at the lot. I mean, I don't think I've had this diverse inventory in a long time. I'm looking at a Chevrolet Camaro, a Volkswagen Passat, Mercedes GLE, Cadillac CTS, Volvo XC60. I mean, we've got them everywhere. We got Hondas, Toyotas. We got every make and model that you even want. Nissans, GMC Z71 trucks, three-quarter ton diesels, and all those can be checked out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, you have something for everyone. Now, tell us about some of the rebates going on right now.
We got $5,500 on the hood of the trucks right now. We got a few trucks left. We got some coming in here shortly, hopefully, and just got in one of those. And you really like this, Dalton?
Mm-hmm.
AT4 Yukon.
Oh yeah,
XL.
Those things are sharp.
I mean, those are the mama cars, the daddy cars to go to the hunting camp mm-hmm. and take all the ice chests and all the people, and they're fine. It's white in color. I just saw it get unloaded. We got that on the lot, and it's not sold. So if you're looking for a Yukon XL AT4 four-wheel drive, white, we got it.
That's outstanding. How do people get in touch, Louie?
McConnell Automotive online or 476-4141.
All right, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It is 8:38 at FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and we've got some things we want to sort out here, including the rally. We know a lot of people up at the rally in Washington, D.C. Got a picture of the bus going up to the rally, the inside of the bus, the interior, so we could see some of the faces of the people going up there.
Yeah, and we talked to several people over the last couple weeks that said they planned to go up there.
Okay.
So it started getting a little rowdy last night. We'll see what happens today. And President Trump also expected to speak, I believe, 10 o'clock this morning was the time I saw.
Yep.
I'll have to double check on that.
Yep.
But that's all leading into what happens at noon up there in the Congress.
So Mike is in Orange Beach, I believe. Mike, good morning.
No, I'm in Point Clear, actually.
Okay, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
That's okay. I just wanted to let y'all know congratulate the first black senator from Georgia. The first black senator in the United States was from Mississippi, and he was Republican, and that was in 1870.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first black congressman from Georgia was Jefferson Long. Oh, by the way, that guy's name was Hiram Rhodes Rebels.
Hmm.
From Mississippi. He was the first black senator from Mississippi, 1870.
That is some incredible
history. And the first
black
congressman from Georgia was Jefferson Long.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And that was in 1870 as well.
Wow.
Now, the first black congressman from Alabama was Benjamin Turner. And he's from Selma. He's buried at the Selma Cemetery. Now, my source is American History. All three were Republican.
Hmm.
Now, my source is American History in Black and White, written by David Barton.
So Warnock is, if this holds, and they did call the race for him last night, so he would be the first black senator from Georgia, right, Mike?
He's the first black senator from Georgia, but there's been representatives from Georgia, congressmen.
Okay. Mike, thanks for the call.
Welcome, and check out American History in Black and White by David Barton. And it would be good to have facts, because it's all about senatorial votes and congressional votes and who voted for what act and everything else, and it's really good to have around.
You sound like you'd be a good guest. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
That's Mike Point Clear with a little history lesson here on this Wednesday.
A lot of history lesson. Yeah.
I think history... I don't know if history will be made today or not. People are acting like this is completely unprecedented, what's happening up in Washington. There's been objections to electoral college results even here in this century.
Yeah,
I mean, several times.
Yeah.
Not to the scale that Republicans are hoping that there will be objections today, but we've been talking about what will possibly go on later today and appears likely to happen is that once they start reading out the states and certifying the electoral college results, they'll go down alphabetically, Alabama, Alaska, and then Arizona. And once they get to Arizona, according to Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz from Texas, that's when the senators will object to their first state's results, because Arizona, one of the six states that Trump supporters have been pointing at where they feel that there was election fraud. Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Georgia. Now, Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, he said he plans to object to the Pennsylvania Electoral College results. I'm not sure, outside of those two states, if any senators have said they will object to any other states.
There's definitely going to be two-hour conversations, debates, or whatever on those two. Is that the way that would
work? That's what it looks like, and, you know, this is all new to me and new to a lot of people. I don't know if, you know, right after they talk about Arizona, and they object to Arizona's results, if that means they will immediately split, the House will go off to one spot, send it to the other, and debate for 2 hours, or if they'll continue reading through the states and then argue about it later. Okay. But, you know, if the Republicans object to all six of those states, it doesn't take a math genius to figure out that'd be 12 hours of debate. So this could really hang on into the night.
Yeah, it could, if that's the way it's going to go. And again, it looks like not the last second here, because it happened on Saturday, but Mo Brooks was building up all that momentum, and with his plan, Ted Cruz's plan is not in coordination with Mo Brooks' plan, really, in the least.
Yeah, because Mo Brooks wants to object to all the states and try to, you know, overturn the election. Looks like Ted Cruz is and other senators are trying to leverage their position right now to the ability to, you know, oppose these Electoral College results in order to force there to be a commission formed to study the voter fraud. For, he said, 10 days to study the voter fraud in the 2020 election, give the American people some answers, and then that would lead into the January 20th inauguration. That doesn't seem to be what Mo Brooks wanted out of this from the start. And Mo Brooks was actually on Lou Dobbs. I think Monday night he was on Lou Dobbs' show on Fox Business, and Dobbs asked him about that, about Ted Cruz and these other senators' plans. And Mo Brooks said, well, I'm baffled by it, quite frankly. If it had been proposed back in early November, that had been one thing. The question now is, how do you get a vote on it? What process do you use between now and 1 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday to get a vote to create this kind of commission? He said, I don't know of a mechanism that's available to have that kind of vote in the House or the Senate. Time will tell if we're able to do that. Then he said, from a substantive standpoint, even if they are able to get this commission created, to have it done in 10 days, there's no way in the world that a commission can do a complete and thorough investigation that would divulge to the American people how bad the voter fraud and the election theft had been in the November 2020 election cycle. So, you know, a question has to be asked. Mo Brooks, he seems to be, at least, from the beginning, coming to this from an earnest standpoint.
I agree.
That he truly feels there was election fraud. I don't know how many of these GOP senators and House members that are jumping on board that maybe are just using this for a little bit of extra political capital.
Yeah, I think you see it the way I see it, too. And Mo seems to be the among the most genuine in terms of his motivation with all this, and then a lot of politics being played after that. We'll talk about that on the way on FM Talk 106.5. And also, this interesting, this pinnacle of this entire situation at 12 o'clock today, and Sean Sullivan will be eating a shrimp po' boy out on the causeway.
Yeah, so a bit of a change in programming today, as Jeff Poor is, he'll be out for today. And we have former State Senator Rusty Glover, who's now in the building.
Excited about that.
Ready to get on the air and host the Jeff Poor Show. Then, starting at noon, live from Ed's Seafood Shed, Sean Sullivan at Midday Mobile, and Scuttlebutt Network with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters at 1 p.m. So, should be a fun one right here at FM Talk 106.5.
It's almost like too much going on. It's 8:45 at FM Talk 106.5. Back to the text line and a little bit back to some of the vaccine news we're getting from y'all. We'll do that on the way. It is 8:50 at FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all, this is Dan Brennan. For my guys at Morgan Stanley, my guys and gals, Morgan Stanley, here at Mobile, evaluate long-term relationships with its clients. That makes a lot of sense. Five Rivers Group and Morgan Stanley here at Mobile, they know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everybody's got different goals, right? Everybody's got planning for retirement. You might be trying to make sure your kids have got to college money squared away. Whatever it might be, it's the Five Rivers Group at Morgan Stanley. They can sit down with you and work it all out and get you those investment strategies that are going to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. Schedule an appointment. Call Hunt Griffith. He's a financial advisor there at 251-470-1092. That's 251-470-1092. Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC. To the text line, Dalton, real quick, I had a conversation on the text line with someone that's had the vaccine and getting my second part of vaccine today, wow. they say. And I asked if they're a medical professional. Yes, at USA, me and many of our coworkers received the first part of the vaccine on day one when it was available here. So that got to do with healthcare workers and the vaccine. And I can tell you, just as an aside, I just decided to go get the antibody test yesterday.
Yeah.
So just to know if maybe I've got antibodies, if I've got a better chance of fighting this thing off, or if I've actually, you know, if I guess if I had the antibodies, that means I've had it at one time.
Right.
I don't remember that when I would have, maybe I was asymptomatic. So it's just kind of a shot in the dark. But just to get clarification on where my body is today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know where your body is. It's sitting right, right across there, from me right yeah. now. But what did they tell you, 2 or 3 days for the results?
Today or tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, all right, so looking forward to that. Maybe breaking news on Mobile Mornings tomorrow.
It'll be a big reveal, and we may have a celebrity break that news.
Another,
and Dan's result is
another. We can get Mari on the line. Give that one out.
Who?
Mari, the daytime host who does the child DNA. You know, you are not the father.
Oh, Mari, gotcha.
Mari, yeah, not Mari. See, I only read TV Guide. I don't actually watch the show.
That show's not worth watching.
Another text here. Unnamed texter, and we were talking about, you know, the debate of who should get the vaccine first, and at the same time talking about the vaccine rollout and how there are so many vaccine doses still on the shelves. And this texter said, moving up the line, there is no line. Start giving the vaccine to anyone who wants it. It's almost a month and we have 80% still sitting on the shelf. Yeah, there's an argument to be made for that too. You know, if you're going to break it down into tiers, that's one thing, but if the vaccine isn't actually being given out, you know, should you just open the gates and let whoever needs it or wants it to get the vaccine in order to try to reach that herd immunity more quickly?
Yeah.
But at the same time, if the gates are opened, you know, because I know or I've heard from elderly people who want the vaccine
sure.
who are not yet able to get the vaccine because we're still in that 1A of the vaccine rollout.
And right. The only people aside from healthcare workers getting it right now would be those that are living in a nursing home or, you know, long-term care facility.
Mm-hmm. Another text here. Hal says, Cruz has started his run for president. That's all this is about. What happened to Trump's investigation of, quote, voter fraud after 2016?
I agree completely.
Didn't he form a commission to investigate? Yeah, Cruz clearly looking to the future of his political career.
And Mo Brooks is like saying, what about right now? What about what I'm trying to do? And he just kind of got muscled off to the side.
And mentioned that, you know, Jeff Poor out today, so former Alabama State Senator Rusty Glover will be in guest hosting Jeff's show. And Dan texted in, fun fact, Rusty Glover was my 11th grade history teacher, best teacher I ever had in high school.
That is awesome.
So a great compliment there from Dan on the text line. And speaking of the show today, a number of guests lined up for Rusty Glover. You have starting the show off, Jefferson County GOP Chairman Paul DeMarco. And then a little bit later in the hour, Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill, in a time where secretaries of states are much discussed, specifically the one in Georgia right
yes,
now, but yeah. John Merrill does not have the eyes of the nation on him right now. He will be on the show later on the Jeff Poor Show with Rusty Glover hosting. Also, columnist Steve Flowers, State Senator Greg Albritton, and Sean Ross from Yellowhammer News. So you want to stay tuned for that show coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Sean was talking about this too yesterday. Some people are great guests, but they come on, they don't quite know how to host, but Rusty, a very skilled educator for many years,
mm-hmm.
he knows how to get in front of a class and start the whole thing, so we're thinking he'll be just fine. Right? Don't you think?
I think so. I'm right there with you.
And the best teacher that guy had ever, which is pretty cool.
Very cool. We have to talk about this story at least one more time this
Brinks
morning.
Truck?
The Brinks truck story,
yeah.
Because this has kind of been, you know, glossed over since it happened yesterday. I know it was in the headlines quite a bit last night, but what happened yesterday over off Rangeline Road, it started pretty early in the morning where Mobile police began investigating a 911 call about a Brinks security truck parked at the Chevron gas station on Higgins Road near Rangeline being robbed, basically. And then the update from last night from our news partners at WKRG, they said two men held a Brinks truck driver at gunpoint and stole money. A witness told WKRG that shots were fired during the robbery. The witness said that it sounded like gunfire from an AR-style rifle. You'll have to listen to Midday Mobile for Sean's take on that. Said the driver was robbed while at one of the pumps at a gas station. Police say they got away with a large amount of cash and took off. The robbers are still on the run, and according to police, they left in a blue four-door passenger vehicle. Thankfully, doesn't seem that anyone was hurt on the scene of this crime. But, you know, Dan, so often we hear of attempted robbery stories. It's been a long time since I've heard of someone trying to rob a Brinks security truck.
No kidding. That alone is pretty brazen.
But you never hear, hardly ever anymore, of someone actually robbing a security truck and getting away with a ton of cash. That just seems like that used to happen more often.
Well,
but
by the nature of the job, you think every precaution would be taken to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right? And aren't Brinks drivers armed?
I thought the Brinks security truck drivers were armed. I'm sure that somebody on the text line has some more information about that, but pretty crazy. And that really kind of just happened right down the road from where I live. So pretty insane that happened in Mobile yesterday. Hopefully they catch these thieves, but as of right now, it appears that they're still on the run.
I mean, that's an area of town that everybody's familiar with from, say, you live in Midtown or West Mobile or Spring Hill, whatever. But if you're going to Dolphin Island, you go down that road and you pass that Chevron station, you know where it is. Maybe you get gas on the way back there or whatever. So that's what makes it so crazy, is that it's just right in our midst.
And
Brinks truck robbery, and they got away with it. Again, we don't know that they're going to be able to keep the money and live happily ever after, but it is insane that it happened.
My New Year's resolution is to tell more people about the podcast this year from FM Talk 106.5. And just to remind you where you can hear some great interviews like Sean Sullivan yesterday on Midday Mobile, who talked with Dr. Scott Shavers from the Mobile County Health Department. That podcast, just like every other hour of our live programming, immediately goes up onto our podcast page, which you can check out at fmtalk1065.com. But if you want to receive those podcasts in an easier form, it's pretty easy to subscribe. We're on basically every podcast provider that's out there: iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Podcasts. Deezer is another one that has podcasts out there. So if you want to hear some of those great interviews that maybe you miss when you have to go into work or go into the house or whatever, just check it out, fmtalk1065.com, or subscribe to the podcast at one of those previously mentioned sites.
Looking over those numbers, too, the podcasts are getting more and more popular, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a way a lot of you consume our programming. So we invite you to do that for sure and spread the word, too. Yeah.
Rusty Glover coming up, guest hosting the Jeff Poor Show. And check Sean Sullivan out at noon at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway.